city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, folks, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Seems like my voice gets better every hour. That's a good thing, though, right? I want to thank you for hanging with me all 3 hours. I'm solo tonight. In fact, I'm going to be solo tomorrow night as well when we have Timothy Alberino and Steve Quayle on. Watch HagmanReport.com. I'm going to be putting up the trailer for their new video, their new DVD. Oh, my goodness. I've seen the 2-hour and 27-minute, 2.5-hour video, which they have done. And it's incredible. In fact, I'm going to be writing about it as well. That's very important. Tomorrow night, very important. Because a lot of what we're seeing happening today in history, or today with regard to the findings, it's verifying biblical history. But it's also going back to the Roman Catholic Church and how the Vatican has manipulated history and taken over history, and they've got some of the most incredible, they're guarding some of the most incredible secrets of the world. It's a very interesting film. I mean, the first video put out by Gen 6 Productions, Timothy Alberino, was good. This is, and Steve Quayle was good. This is 150 times better, if that's even possible. On the screen to my right, I've got Saul Alinsky book, Rules for Radicals. Folks, have you read this book? This is a book dedicated to Satan. Going over some important notes here. Obama has almost finished the job outlined in this book. Taking some notes. You know, most Americans, Christians and conservatives included, are asleep at the switch. We've determined that. This renegade in chief is not simply going out there, you know, playing 18 holes, coming back, watching SportsCenter, while letting ISIS run and grow rampant. That's not accidental. That's by design. Obama has, I believe, when Obama was selected and placed in office, that was one of the books to be used as an instruction manual. And I think he's followed it to a T. I think he has done an incredibly well job, and that's not a compliment. Right under the nose of the American public, and the American public seems eager and willing to play ignorant, to play dumb, and to play right along. Obama hasn't done it alone. Look, I went over BLM, dissected BLM and FSRO. I dissected those to show you the communist origins, identifying the people, the funding. That was not just idle talk. Now, let's take a larger view and look at what Obama has done, using this book as an instruction manual. Obama has effectively socialized America, communized America, well, is in the process thereof, and intends to hand off the mantle of leadership to Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, to finish us off. While having the participation of the corporate captured, controlled, Illuminati controlled mass media. That's more an arm of the progressive left than a mere mechanism of dissemination of the news. The Obama-Alinsky connection is not new. You know about it. It's always been there. You might say, Doug, you're preaching to the choir. But as with so many issues from his past, it's been largely ignored. Or, yeah, I know about it, so what? But let's take a look, because when I started going through some of the points in this book, and comparing it with Obama's current and most recent objectives and what he's done, it's astounding. The damage inflicted by Obama and his associates is, I would say, perhaps irreversible to this country. Perhaps. Which is why, even if, let's just say it is reversible, and I hope it is, much of it is. That's why the 2016, this election cycle is so important for the fate of America. Now, we know that change has got to come from the bottom down, not the top, or the bottom up, not the top down. We know that. But look what happens when you throw somebody like Obama into office. Look what happens. First of all, you know who Saul Alinsky was, correct? Do you know what the purpose of his book, Rules for Radicals, was? Well, he identified a set, a very specific set, I might add, of rules that ordinary citizens could follow and tactics that ordinary citizens could employ as a means of gaining public power. And that's it. He created a blueprint for revolution under the banner of social change. What did Obama do? Fundamental change, social change. There it is. Do you know two of Saul Alinsky, two of his most notable modern-day disciples? You know who they are, right? One, of course, is Obama. Well, who's the other one? Clinton, Hillary, Rodham, Clinton. Well, what are some of the rules, and what is, or what has Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru done in order to achieve some of the objectives listed in this book? Anything, by the way, that Obama may have missed, I am certain that Clinton will do to finish the job. I lost my notes here. There we go. Now we're back up again. All right. That's kind of scary when you're sitting here thinking, man, I got nothing here. All right. Now I just have to go down to where I was, right? Just one more election. I'll just add this. I believe one more election will decide our fate. Do we buy more time? You know, our spiritual problems are not going to be solved by political solutions, or there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. But can one election perhaps decide our fate? Well, look what Obama has done in the nearly 8 years he's been in office. There are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you are able to create a socialist / communist state. Now, the first is the most important. I'll just say that. And of the 8, Obama has accomplished 5. Or 5 are already accomplished. 3 have yet to be. The last 3, almost there. Number 1, healthcare. You've got to control healthcare. And once you control healthcare, you control the people. I happen to know this for a fact that there are things taking place in healthcare right now after speaking with somebody this within the last week who said that we're going to have a universal payer system. It's going to be full-blown socialist healthcare, and it's going to be done right in front of with the approval of a Republican president and Congress. But it's the big thing is you control the healthcare of a country in order to fully communize and socialize it. Done. Check. Number 2, poverty. You've got to increase the poverty level as high as possible. You know, poor people are easier to control, and they're not going to fight back if you're providing anything, or everything, I should say, to them for free to live. Hasn't that been done? And it's not just Obama, but Obama really accelerated the whole process. But look back into FDR. Go back to FDR, the days of FDR. What did FDR do? Number 3, debt. Increase the national debt to levels that are completely unsustainable. That way you're able to increase taxes, which, by the way, increases more poverty. It's taxes, poverty, leads to more taxes, greater poverty. Check, right? Gun control. Number 4 is gun control. Remove the ability to defend people from their government. That way, you're able to create a police state. Total local control. Almost there, folks. Not quite there yet, but almost there. Did you notice how Obama, in talking about Dallas, in talking about other issues, is calling for the federalization of all of our police forces? Do you think that's for the good of the communities? No. That's part of, when you hear that, when you hear any talk of that, think, folks, think of this book, Rules for Radicals. Number 5, take control, welfare, take control over every aspect of people's lives. You got to take control over the food, we talked about that, over livestock, over housing and income. Pretty much that's done, folks. Number 6 is education. Take control over what people read and what they listen to. Take control over what children learn in school. Well, that's pretty much done through Common Core, and we see revisionist history. The history books, as I mentioned before, notice how $400 million is being given to change history books and books in general, but history in particular. Especially about Israel. Number 7, religion. Remove all faith in God from the government and from the schools. Done. Check. Well, almost there. I shouldn't say it's done. Almost there. And number eight. And this is what much of the program has been about tonight. Class and racial warfare. Divide people into the wealthy against the poor, the black against the white, the minorities against the majority. Racial division. The haves versus the have-nots. Whatever you can do, cause chaos at every possible turn. This will cause more discontent. And it's going to be a lot easier to tax the wealthy with the full support of the voting poor. Think about that. Right from Alinsky's playbook. Tax the wealthy with the full support of the voting poor. The bases are pretty much covered on all this. Now, I'm going to go back here. I'm not sure if I... In my research of this, you just got the 8 points. Saul Alinsky, of course, is known as the father of community organizing. There are actually 12 rules. I gave you 8. 6. There are 6 that are particularly instructive when trying to figure out why Obama speaks, acts, and does things the way he does. Let me take this at a different angle here. Because many people will ascribe incompetence to Obama when, in fact, it's design. And remember, folks, this is all about the making America ripe for communist takeover and falling to communism and socialism in order that we may become part of the new world order, the one world system of governance, because being strong in the family, being strong in our monetary system, being strong in our values, spiritually, God-fearing people, we won't tolerate a one world government. But according to Saul Alinsky, the father of community organizing, he writes that politics is all about power relations. But to advance one's power, one must couch one's positions in the language of morality. Did you hear what I said? Community organizers are political realists who see the world as it is, an arena of power politics moved primarily by perceived immediate self-interest, for example, or morality is rhetorical rationale for expedient action and self-interest. In other words, morality, not so much. Morality is what you make it. It's not clear-cut. It's not black and white. There's a lot of gray here, and you can actually exploit that. The second rule here is that there's only 3 kinds of people in the world: the rich and powerful oppressors, the poor and disenfranchised oppressed, and then, of course, the middle class, whose apathy perpetuates the status quo. This explains why there is such this acquiescence of the middle class and this resignation that, hey, we just have to go with the flow. We can't change anything. And this is the tie-in to the Tavistock Institute. The world as it is rather simple. From this perspective, the world consists of but 3 kinds of people, as I mentioned: the haves, the have-nots, and the, well, have just a little. but want more. The haves, possessing as they do all of the power, money, food, security, and luxury, they resist the changes necessary to relieve the have-nots of the poverty. They're rotten housing and such. And even from the despair in which they suffer. Now, the have-a-littles, that's kind of where a lot of us fit in. Want more those people who want a little bit more, too, you know, have a little, want more. Now, they comprise what we call the middle class. And Alinsky, in his book, believed that this group is the genesis of creativity. He also claims that it supplies the world with its do-nothings. The do-nothings are those who profess a commitment to social change for ideals of justice, equality, and opportunity, but then abstain from and discourage its effective action for change. So in other words, yeah, we should do it, probably should, but don't. That being so, they're as resistant to the change as the have-a-lots. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these, but you get the idea. What we're seeing here is Obama being perfectly, or him following this to a T. Rules for radicals. In case the first hour, again, talking about the Black Lives Matter, the new Black Panther party leader, I'm not sure how many of you saw this, they're calling for blacks to migrate to five southern states to form a country within a country. And people might blow this off and say, oh, this is just BS, and, you know, this is all rhetoric that the head of the new Black Panther party, you know, they're just nuts. Well, a lot of people are taking this seriously. I don't know how many people listen to Aaron Klein, the investigative radio. It's out of New York City, AM 970. And News Talk 990 in Philadelphia, by the way. The head of the New Black Panthers was on Aaron Klein's radio show. And he said, look, we need people, we need the blacks to migrate to five states. Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Mississippi, and Louisiana. He said that we just need to start migrating back to those states and take control of the economics in those states. If black people move in, most definitely white people will move out. So it's not a hard process for us to have our own country within a country. Now, that's a pretty racist thing to say, but he said it. And it should be noted that this founder, or this head of the New Black Panthers, is also the co-founder of the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. If you understand the politics of the 60s, Huey Newton was the founder of the Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party. According to news reports, Dallas shooter Johnson liked the Huey Newton Gun Club page and promoted it as well on Facebook and other social media. But what these groups are saying is property ownership. We are going to conquer America through property ownership, land ownership. The end game is having their own government within a nation. Do you notice how this parallels with and is consistent with the alien invasion? The people coming in here from overseas saying, we are not going to assimilate, we are going to start our own, basically our own country within a country. Well, this is what's taking place. Concurrent and parallel courses of action. What we're saying right now, according to this head of the New Black Panther Party, is that we want to control the economics in our community. We want to control the black dollars. Remember Josh Tully saying that in Muslim communities, they control where the money is spent. As a matter of fact, a Muslim dollar, a dollar spent by a Muslim, is spent with other Muslims 16 times before it ever leaves their community. Black Panther Party. New Black Panther Party ripping a page from the Muslim playbook. Again, if you learn nothing else or take nothing else away from tonight, the same playbook. It's all communism, Leninism, Marxism related, Maoism, all the isms, Islamism, Black Pantherism. They're all reading from the same playbook. And at the head of this, the coach of this, is Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro. Folks, we are in some very dangerous waters right now. Extremely dangerous waters as we speak. You know, I found this, and I thought this was worthy of comment. This is from yesterday. And my question to you folks after you hear this is, how many people can get away with this? A professor calls for mass shooting at the NRA's headquarters. Make sure that there are no survivors. An anti-gun professor at the Southern State Community College in Ohio. This guy's name, James Pierce, posted some violent words on his Facebook page last month. And he called, this is last month now, this is in June when he posted this. He called for a mass shooting at the NRA's headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia, and said, look, we got to make sure that there are no survivors. I've got a copy of the Facebook. I've got no way to put it up right now. He writes this. Look, there's only one solution. A bunch of us anti-gun types are going to have to arm ourselves. We're going to have to storm the NRA headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia, and make sure there are no survivors. This action might also require coordinated hits at remote sites like Washington lobbyists. Then and only then will we see some legislative action on assault weapons. Have a nice day, with a smiley face. As an aside, I get some really interesting emails and really some not so nice emails, and it cracks me up. I mean, it cracks me up when I'm called every name in the book. The signature is your friend, comma, whoever. Or have a great day, with a smiley face. It's like, really? But the director for public relations at SCC, or SSCC, Chris Cross. Yeah, like that's a real name, right? No, it is. Said that it was their policy not to comment on individual personal matters, including posts like this. Asked whether Professor Pierce would continue to teach there. Cross noted that a criminal prosecution could affect the professor's employment. But barring that, not so much. Everything's cool. Now, I read you what Pierce posted, right? This particular professor one professor at a university, conservative, told a politically incorrect joke and got fired without explanation. Yet this idiot James Pierce on Facebook says, you know, we had to wipe out everyone at NRA, make sure there are no survivors, and only then will we see action. And he's allowed. It's okay. We're okay. He's allowed to teach. Remember, I talked earlier in the first hour about Dallas and about Black Lives Matter and about how all these groups are working together. Well, an official admission from the pro-jihad group cloaking itself as a Muslim cause organization, we'll just call it the Council on American Islamic Relations, has written this. Black Lives Matter is our matter. Black Lives Matter is our campaign. In other words, they're taking up the mantle of Black Lives Matter under the pretext of being a minority in a country that oppresses minorities, meaning both blacks and Muslims. There you have it. This is how things go. This is how I mean, this is what we're seeing right now. One thing we're working on, and I'm speaking at Dallas, and I'm getting some information on the number of shooters in Dallas. I know that the official story, one guy, one shooter, second floor, did a lot of damage. I got that. No, there was, according to the information I have, there was more than that, more than one, obviously. And I do suspect that to be the case. Folks, I don't know. Are you thinking that as well? One more thing here. As we look at the alien immigration here into this country, the doors, the barn doors, the fence doors are pushed wide open now, between now and the end of Obama's term. And no one's doing anything to stop this. Paul Ryan, none of the legislators are doing anything to stop this. There was a document leaked, and this appeared in the Washington Post. This is important. There was a document leaked that said 2,000 men assaulted 1,200 German women on New Year's Eve. Now, we talked to Ted Brewer about this. How many people really understand the ramifications of this? Initially, there was complete silence from officials as rumors spread on social media. And as we reported it here, well, police had nothing to say about the allegation of mass sexual assaults that took place in Cologne and other cities across Germany. Remember us talking about that? Well, it was only days later that officials reported that hundreds of women were victims of assault in Cologne, Hamburg, and other German cities. Now, the numbers that are coming out now, and especially in leaked documents, are staggering, are beyond anything that we saw initially. This is over a half a year ago now. According to one leaked police document, this was published by Germany's newspaper. This was broadcast on German television, but was censored in the West. Authorities believe that on New Year's Eve, all across Germany, more than 1,200 women were sexually assaulted in various German cities. 600 alone in Cologne. 600 alone in Cologne. 400 in Hamburg. More than 2,000 men were allegedly involved, and 120 suspects, about half of them foreign nationals who had only recently arrived in Germany, have been identified. Guess how many have been convicted? Yeah, 4 so far. Officials, police, have linked the sexual assaults to the influx of refugees. Really? That's astounding. When you consider that 2,000 assaults, yeah, by illegal aliens, yeah, I guess you would have to link that to the influx of refugees. There's an obvious connection between the emergence of what happened and the rapid migration or the rapid invasion of 2015. Even some of the politicians on the left are getting it. But again, we are told to say no means no. That's the line that women are told to say. No means no. When I was reading this as well, I was just blown away by the fact that there is a German lawmaker on the left, meaning a German lawmaker when I left the center, who said this during an interview with the Washington Post, that immigration issues and sexual assault cases should never be linked, should not be linked. because not because they're not true, but listen to this, okay? But refugees could end up facing double punishment by being deported. Huh? Isn't that the case? Oops, I'm sorry about that. Isn't that the case? Isn't that what we should do? They could face double punishment by being deported. It's hard to believe that any lawmaker in a country where you've got that many assaults would even say something like that. Wow. I'm going to the mailbag here. Why don't I do that? Going to hear from some of our listeners tonight. This is something we're following, folks. I don't know how many people have seen this. Something we're following. Just heard now, this from, from Ron. Just heard that delegates now free to vote for anyone on the first ballot. Meaning, of course, the Republican convention. Can you believe that? In other words, all delegates unbound, even on the first ballot. How many people have heard that? And is there anyone who could confirm that with any degree of authenticity? Apparently, there's going to be a rules change, and the rules change will unbind the delegates who were committed to Trump, and they can vote for anyone on the first ballot. Following that up, heard that. This is like the third time I've heard that. Ron, thanks for that email. We're going to be following that up with vigor. Also, about six different emails about Dallas. And I want to thank you. Thank you so much. Hang on a second. Let me bring this one back up again here. Bob and Maggie, thank you so much for your email. Listen live in Dallas. Listen live. Yeah, I can talk. They listen to the now. Bear in mind that one of the two here is a former law enforcement official, very experienced law enforcement official. Having listened to the live feed in Dallas, there was definitely more than one shooter triangulation involved, and it takes more than one for that to take place. And I totally agree. I also received both emails as well as conversationally from my sources, who said that not only are we looking at the Islamic component, you're looking at that other components as well, other groups, as I had mentioned earlier about talking about BLM, involved in this as well, involved in Dallas as well, the Dallas shooting. Daniel Holdings, you know, wrote in and stated that his heart is heavy over the spirit of lawlessness that's sweeping the land and sweeping across the globe. Maybe we should talk about this sometime. Should have Daniel Holdings back. And thank you, David C. writes, generally I don't read emails like this, but David C., thank you so much for your kind email. He writes, he's a fan of the show. Enjoy the topic and material you provide. Thanks so much for that. And then we've got some information. I like this guy. Another one to bake your noodle, Doug. Talking about ISIS and how that relates to Ishtar and Venus and Aphrodite, and so on. They're all the same entity, Semiramis. You know, we knew that. We know that. And JD has a video out. The same thing. I want to say DVD, and then I want to say digital VD player. Just to be funny. Also by the same person who wants to make my noodle. The Nation of Islam is a known creation of the Muslim Brotherhood. Did you know that? The Nation of Islam is a known creation of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, if I could just briefly tell a really short story. I was working for a bank on asset recovery and when I was a PI, young PI, very young PI in the business, and ended up buying a one-way ticket to Chicago to repossess a Cadillac from a Nation of Islam compound in Chicago owned by one of the heads who happened to be named Malik Shabazz, who happens to be the head of Nation of Islam, but I don't think it was the same one, or at least I hope not. But I remember taking that car and the police refusing to even provide any protection whatsoever. Basically, they said, you own that property, you're pretty much on your own. And writes the same gentleman about baking my noodle, he writes this, knowing all of this, consider the history of Black Power icon. It originated as a symbol of rebellion of Ishtar, also known as ISIS. Do you see not just the obvious, but look at the deeper esoteric spiritual meanings, the eschatological aspects of what we're seeing take place. The sword coming across the land. Wow. It's amazing what we're seeing right now. And Will G. writes this. Triple nine, officer down call in Dallas a decoy? I was wondering if it's possible that the shooting in Dallas was a decoy similar to the movie Triple Nine. Folks, I never saw the movie Triple Nine. I never even heard of the movie Triple Nine. But possibly a way to commit a major theft or maybe bring you in troops or terrorists while the police were occupied. RB. What does RB stand for? Has anyone figured that out yet? Eric, do you know? RB? You know, when he wrote RB in blood, allegedly. The dead guy, Johnson, wrote out RB in his blood. What does it say? Yeah, no one knows what it means, what it stands for. Anyone know? Anyone know what that stands for? You know, that's kind of an interesting question. Because first of all, how do we authenticate? How do we know that really happened? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that except to say, okay, let's just assume for a moment that the allegations that Johnson, the shooter in Dallas, the one that was identified, wrote RB in his blood. Let's just say that that's true. What does that mean? Why would he take the time to do that? Theories are welcome. Studio at Hagman and Hagman.com. I don't know what it means. The Will G says, could it mean Ron Brown? I doubt if the guy knew who Ron Brown is. That's just my view. Was, that is. But there you have it. I mean, RB. How many people, you know, anyone want to take a venture a guess as to what it means? And by the way, we're going to be doing a show as well on the murder of Vince Foster. I just want to make it clear to everyone that I truly believe that Vince Foster was murdered. I did visit Fort Marcy Park. I've got pictures of me at Fort Marcy Park. This was not too long after it happened. And boy, I'll tell you, there's so much wrong with that. But I do believe that the investigation and the Bark Police investigation, and I've talked to people since then, I do believe that he was murdered. And I do believe he was murdered not in Fort Marcy Park or at Fort Marcy Park, but elsewhere. And deposited at Fort Marcy Park. But wow, what a mess that is. So we're going to be doing a show on Vince Foster. The reason, of course, Foster, being one of the highest level White House individuals to die in office since JFK, people need to know the truth. And please, understand this. When I say this, understand this. When I talk about Vince Foster and talk about issues with Hillary Clinton, about Hillary Clinton, there are writers, journalists, authors who, just a few of them, who claim to be exposing the Clinton misdeeds when in fact they're doing anything but. They're redirecting the information. So keep that in mind. Not everything is what it appears to be. I just really want people to know that. Notice too, and I was asked to bring this up as well. Notice that people are, or notice the Catholic Church in particular, the Vatican, as well as many of the other denominations, are going soft on morality, sins of morality, including homosexuality and such. Yes, of course we know that. But soon we will find that all of the moral issues, whether it be sodomy, whether it be homosexual marriage, whether it be, regardless of what the issue is, will become hate speech. And as Coach Day was here Friday, and if you didn't catch that show Friday, my goodness, what a fantastic show. I thought it was great. In studio guest, Coach Dave Dobmeier. One of the things he says is that truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth. All right, and to close out tonight, just going back to last week, DC Clothesline had reported that hacked messages of Black Lives Matter leader reveal Obama's plan for summer, basically. This appeared again at DC Clothesline, and given the fact that I had talked about the BLM and what it stood for and the participants of the BLM and how it relates to the Nation of Islam and Muslims and everything. Listen to this. The U.S. Attorney General's office, Loretta Lynch in particular, is coordinating with Democratic activists to disrupt the upcoming Republican and Democratic national conventions so that the martial law will be declared. Now, this is something we had talked about before. DC Clothesline reported on it. Now, this is coming back again, coming around again after the Dallas shootings. Remember us talking about this, that it was back on June 10th. Someone hacked into the Twitter account of Black Lives Matter leader and former Baltimore mayoral candidate DeRay McKesson. Remember we talked about that? McKesson later confirmed the hack to the Baltimore Sun. Then the next day, someone on Twitter sent a message. It was a private message of this McKesson and another BLM leader, in which the two discussed talking with the AG, with Lynch, about plans to bring in martial law by causing chaos at the upcoming conventions. Remember, we already talked about this. Now, post Post-Dallas, we are seeing other things come into play as well. We are seeing other social networking trends and messages pop up here, claiming to be back from that hacked account. That seemed to make a little bit more sense, which would suggest, of course, some foreknowledge of what happened in Dallas. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. I had shown you last week the tweets that I held up. But what appears to be taking place is they're using both internal and external assets, meaning people inside the convention center itself. And this is something we didn't have before. Somehow, people getting into the convention center and causing major disruptions, as well as people outside the convention center of both the Republican and Democratic conventions, to cause situations to shut down the conventions or to postpone them, and to create a situation where the government would have to step in and either send in National Guard troops or whatever, but saying that they are going to make the Chicago conventions back in 1968, and remember the Chicago 7, look like a day at the beach. And interestingly enough, they're talking about Obama staying in for a third term. Yes, I understand the lunacy about that, but saying that there are groups that would go out and not only finance the protests, finance the actual deeds inside and outside the conventions, but also do some things to support the lawmakers in the event of an emergency, to support martial or to support a third term of Obama, martial law, changing the rules. Now, again, this is just what we're seeing right now. So I guess what I'm saying is this. We saw the hack. We talked about the hack prior to Dallas. Dallas happened. Now we're seeing more about things taking place at both conventions, Democratic and Republican conventions, to the extent that martial law could be declared, or perhaps even a more accurate assessment, this according to Gene Tatum, emergency police powers declared, travel restrictions made all across the United States. And to think of it this way. The United States is too big of an area, generally speaking, to enforce martial law, travel restrictions all across the country. But if you take a few choice areas, you take the Northeast, you take the Southwest, you take the West Coast and the East Coast and the Southeast, it can be done. Just a few choke points out of New York City, you could shut down New York City, the tunnels and bridges. Done. Bam. That's it. You ain't going nowhere unless you've got a submarine that goes through the sewers. Or a boat. That's what's being talked about right now on social media. It's going to be a long, hot summer. Folks, go to Canada Free Press, if you will. Leave a comment on my article. The reason I ask you to do that is really simple. It just elevates the placement in the search engines, but it's Obama, the agent of anarchy. And that's exactly what he is. Go to HagmanHagman.com or HagmanHagman.com for show information and HagmanReport.com for show prep. All important there. Tomorrow night, Timothy Alberino and Steve Quayle coming on to talk about their findings, their new DVD. What a great show it's going to be tomorrow night. So stay tuned for tomorrow's show. And then Friday, we've got Ted Brewer coming in talking a little bit more about Dallas and the events that will likely take place between now and then. Folks, I want to say thank you so much for joining me and being part of our show tonight. God bless. Stay safe. Until tomorrow. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.